KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM. The station that leaves no listener behind.
News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. Global stock markets have taken a beating today after more concerns from Greece about the European bailout. NBC's Kristen Welker.
White House Press Secretary Jay Carney trying to really take sort of a calm approach, saying, look, this is a reminder that action needs to be taken.
The Dow is off by 297 points. The jury in the case against Michael Jackson's doctor will not be hearing from the suspect. Testimony in the involuntary manslaughter case has wrapped up without Dr. Conrad Murray taking the stand. A government report says more Americans are dying from powerful painkillers that can become addictive. The report says deaths from drugs like OxyContin and Vicodin have tripled over the past decade. A tugboat pilot in Philadelphia has been sentenced to a year and a day in prison for a collision that killed two tourists on a sightseeing boat. The tug pilot had been distracted by cell phone calls and a family emergency at the time of the crash. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
This weekend, we're kicking off the holidays in style because it's Super Saturday at Walmart, where for one day only, you'll find huge savings on toys and electronics. Get a $50 Walmart gift card when you purchase an Xbox 360 4GB with Kinect for just $299. Or pick up a Vizio 42-inch class LED 1080p TV for just $498 while supplies last. For the kids, we'll have tools for building holiday wish lists, balloons, and more. So join us for Super Saturday, starting 11 a.m. at Walmart. No rain checks. Quantities limited. Minimum 2 per store.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan with another worry-free shopping tip.
If you're like most people, you're probably holding off until Black Friday to start your holiday shopping.
The countdown has begun.
Well, then you're already behind.
What?
Rent-A-Center's pre-Black Friday sale is going on right now.
Oh, man.
Get to Rent-A-Center and beat the holiday rush for amazing pre-Black Friday deals on Sony smart TVs and Acer laptops. But you better hurry.
Out of my way!
See rentacenter.com for complete...
is a weekly test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system. KCAA 1050 AM serves the greater Riverside San Bernardino area.
KCAA Loma Linda.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Mary Kay. For tonight, there's a high wind warning fire weather watch, and you can expect a low around 53 degrees, and wind gusts could get as high as 25 miles per hour. For your midweek check-in for Wednesday, you can expect sunny skies and a high near 79. For Wednesday night, calm winds becoming southeast around 5 miles per hour, and clear skies with a low around 53. That's your weather forecast for this hour. From the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050 KCAA.
Good afternoon. It's 4:03. I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update brought to you by Dr. Scholl's. Experience all day outrageous comfort for yourself with Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. Are you gelling? Well, on the roads, 250 northbound slow from Blaine to Center Street and 91 eastbound slow from Green River to Main Street. Foreclosed Cleaning reminds everyone that each year 186,000 women are diagnosed with breast cancer. Know the many risk factors and get answers about breast cancer. Call 1-800-221-2141 for information on prevention and treatment. This message courtesy of Foreclosed Cleaning, where they clean and clear and repair REO bank-owned foreclosure homes. Foreclosed Cleaning will remove furniture, carpets, debris, garbage, and more. They'll take it out of the home, haul it away, and recycle too. Call Foreclosed Cleaning at 951-588-8957 or visit them online at foreclosedcleaning.com. Taking your business seriously with the Gary Capolino is coming up next, right here on AM 1050 and KCAA Radio.com.
Hello, this is Kenny with Premier Estate Buyers, a division of THR & Associates. This week, located at the Holiday Inn Express in Lake Elsinore, today through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have $250,000 to spend on any gold jewelry and gold coins, pre-1965 silver coins, vintage guitars, antiques and collectibles, war relics like swords or bayonets, old pocket watches, old 10 to 15 cent comic books, and antique toys. And we are paying on the spot. With gold and silver prices through the roof, it's a modern day gold rush. Cash in now. Nobody pays more than the Premier Estate Buyers. Hot items are damaged necklaces, rings, mismatched earrings, even dental gold. If it's old gold or silver, we want to see it. This is a free event, and we have $250,000 to spend this week at the Holiday Inn Express at 31573 Canyon Estates Drive in Lake Elsinore, today through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Hope to see you there.
K-C-A-A.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm without a co-host, and I'm going to talk about the small business economy. If you have questions relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. We will take calls on the show today if you call us. Okay, when I talk about the small business economy, what I'm mostly talking about is the economy as it relates to a small business. Now, there's a lot of conventional wisdom, as we all know. Some of it's right, some of it's wrong. And what I'm here to address is the concept that most people have that says that if the economy is not doing well, that's a really bad time to start a small business. There are certain elements of that that may make it seem true, and then there are other elements that may make it true. But ultimately, it's really determined on your own specific circumstances. Now, for starters, let us talk about the a down economy and what the usual characteristics would be. I think what comes to mind mostly is the term high unemployment. Now, unemployment, I like to say, is the term that we use when it affects other people. When it affects you and me, that's what we call, I don't have a job. Okay? And in that particular sense, while a declining economy may affect the world around us, unless we don't still have our job, we're largely unaffected. I mean, yes, we may find ourselves doing more work because there are less people, but that in a lot of cases is offset by the fact that there isn't as much to do. And in that particular sense, if there are people at your workplace whose jobs are being eliminated because of the economy, that does have a mental effect on you. But if you're the one keeping your job, to a large degree, it doesn't affect you economically unless your salary is being cut or unless your hours are being cut. And the reason I'm making that differential is because for something to affect us and to affect the decisions we make, we have to first clarify if it affects us personally. And once again, the reason that I bring it in that frame is because if we're thinking about starting a business and we're going to hinge that decision on whether we have a good economy or a bad economy, we need to qualify that good economy in terms of how it would affect the business we're thinking of starting. Okay? Another element of the economy is a decline in production. Once again, if we are not in that business that's not producing as much, once again, we're not affected. Okay? If people aren't spending their money like they normally do when times are good, that may have an effect on us or our small business, unless we are selling things that people need to have in good times and bad times. Okay? If we're selling the kind of thing that people buy when they have extra disposable income, then probably we want to get into a better economy or get into business during better economic times when people are spending their money, because that is specifically the kind of business, one that sells luxury items, that kind of business would be affected by a period of time, a decline in the economy, which would make people spend money only for the stuff that they need. Okay, another thing that lately has been a significant part of our economy is the concept of people losing houses. Now, one of the things that's a little bit funny about this particular element, although in a psychological sense, it's had a tendency to make us all feel much more like we're in a down economy. But one of the reasons I believe that this economy has suffered as it has since the big shock in 2008 has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of the real estate problems have not been dealt with. Okay? People who want to do short sales can't do short sales because the banks are not willing to recognize the loss that goes with it. Okay? So a lot of people are not leaving their houses as they normally would when they can't pay their mortgage because the banks are willing to hold on to these houses longer than usual. And the reason is because there are so many of them that the banks don't want the real estate market to be filled with empty houses, because that will have a downward effect on the prices of the houses that are for sale. And it can tend to have a spiraling effect. So this being the case, if people aren't being forced out of their houses and they can't pay their mortgage, that creates an unusual dynamic that people are effectively living in their houses for free. So while we may have a downward trending economy, okay, if people don't have to pay their rent or don't have to pay their mortgage every month, then suddenly it's not such a bad economy for those people. Obviously, it doesn't make them feel more secure because they feel like their house can be taken away from them at any time. But as I said, it's a much different dynamic. Okay, we are not seeing whole neighborhoods of foreclosed houses like we normally would in the circumstances that we believe that we're living in. And while there are short sales, there is not this heavy, heavy volume of them. And the real estate the values that we have, they may not be returning to historical levels, but they're not really going down a whole lot either. And there continues to be some element of a organized market where people are still buying and selling houses. Anyway, the important part of that whole dynamic has to do with the fact that if people are not paying rent and are not paying their mortgages for the houses that they're living in, then that softens the element of the economy. Of course, it also might lessen the investment in new houses, because there are already new houses. But as you'll see as this particular show progresses, that's not the only place that people invest, especially if you have a stable population that for the most part is not moving elsewhere. All right, now let's get back into the four elements that I just mentioned a minute ago. Okay, how do these elements affect the entrepreneur that is going to start a business? Now, generally, I don't want to get into any one specific business outside speaking from my own experience, because sometimes it tends to to blur the issue as to whether or not I'm correctly portraying an industry or not. But the first element, regardless of what your business, high unemployment. Okay, now this can affect the prospects of a new business if, as I said before, that you're actually selling a product that people don't necessarily need. Okay, if people are unemployed and aren't making the money that they need to keep a roof over their house or do not have a stable income and they're afraid of losing their job, then they're going to spend their money more carefully. And if you are starting a business that provides something that people would consider extra things that they'd like to have versus the things that they actually need, that can make a that can be a meaningful consideration. Okay? Now, the concept of a decline in production, once again, it depends on what your business is. But at the same time, if there's a decline in production because people aren't producing as much or producers are going out of business, if they are producing otherwise necessary goods, then this could be, for the entrepreneur, a business opportunity. Because a lot of times, large production facilities go out of business because they are geared for a much higher level of production than they can support if there isn't that level of production, because you've got the overhead of a huge factory and they may be full of inventory. Now, granted, if they're full of inventory, this inventory will most likely reach the distribution channels, but obviously nothing needs to be made. Then the question is, after that inventory is consumed by the market, the question is it an opportunity for the entrepreneur to produce them on a smaller scale? Okay, because a lot of times, if a production facility produces some kind of product that they, because of a decline in the economy, did not sell enough of them, and thus had to stop producing them, chances are they had a significant inventory, and chances are it took a while for that inventory to flow through to the users and be sold in enough quantity to consume the excess production. Okay, but when the excess production is consumed, if that production facility isn't going to return to production, then that could be an opportunity for an entrepreneur to produce them in a smaller quantity. And while a large production facility on a unit basis can produce things very cheaply, when those large-scale production facilities stop producing, then the product would be produced on a smaller scale, which would probably produce a more expensive product than in the past. But if the entrepreneur in the new business is the only source for that product, that could be an opportunity. Okay? Now, the issue of people not spending money like they did before, okay, all of us need to eat, and all of us need a place to live. Okay, so if you're producing something that meets the basic needs category, or if you're starting a business in that particular area, selling food products, or selling hardware for repairing people's houses or things along those lines, that might be a good example of the kind of business that could survive during such a time. Now, granted, both of these types of businesses, as they say, when times are better, we eat more and we build stuff. Okay, well, the hardware store that goes into business during a down economy might survive at the repair level, but when we recover from the economy, that same hardware store might be the basis for home improvement and expanding homes and things along those lines. Okay. Every situation presents its own opportunity. You have to look around you and understand how every situation, including a bad economy, affects your potential for a small business. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm talking about the small business economy. When we return, we'll be talking about the local economy. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage or call us at 1-888-909-1050. If you call us during the show, we will take your call and answer your questions. Stay with us.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
Touchdown, Redlands!
KCAA, the Inland Talk Express, presents University of Redlands football. This Saturday night at 7 p.m., the Bulldogs host Whittier College, live from Ted Runner Stadium in Redlands. I'm Mitch McClellan. Join Brett Malik and me as the Bulldogs meet the Poets in a SCIAC conference game on senior night. University of Redlands football broadcasts are brought to you by Gallagher Jewelers and Finishing Touch Engraving, the Bulldog Bench, Casino Pasta Sauce, CasinoSauce.com, the Gourmet Pizza Shop in historic downtown Redlands and Yucaipa, Cala Mesa, Visiting Angels of Redlands,
Scott's Headers and Mufflers in Beaumont,
Storage West,
Inland Empire 66ers Baseball,
and DTM Painting. That's Bulldog football action this Saturday night at 7 o'clock, live from Redlands on your home for University of Redlands football, KCAA, 1050 AM, the Inland Talk Express.
Kids have the craziest ideas about food. Where do they get this stuff? Like eating Brussels sprouts helps you hit home runs. And eating carrots gives you X-ray vision. It's nuts. And I honestly have no idea where my daughter got this notion that broccoli is the official food of professional ballerinas. Kids, the only reason my four-year-old loves cantaloupe is because he's convinced it comes from the moon.
Run. Small step for man. Lots of potassium for mankind.
And the other day when my oldest came up to me and said, "Mom, will eating peas and carrots really help me pull off a fakie frontside ollie with a twist?" I look him in the eye and say, "It can't hurt, honey. It can't hurt."
Moms everywhere are finding creative ways to help their kids eat 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the poor man, and I'd like to invite you to check out my brand new show. It's called Poor Man's Nation. It airs right here on KCAA AM 1050, Monday through Friday, from 7 at night to 10 at night. Poor Man's Nation is a new concept. We broadcast the entire 3 hours on location from the hottest places in America, Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on KCAA AM 1050. It's the Poor Man's Nation.
For the record, hell, we are the record. KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
This is-
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I've been talking about the small business economy. And in a few minutes I'm going to be talking about the local economy. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. If you call us during the show, we will answer your question. Okay, before I left, I was talking about the elements of a declining economy and how they might affect the decision to start a business. And in closing on that particular subject, I want to point to interesting statistic that I've noticed. It's not really a statistic. I guess you would call it anecdotal evidence. But a lot of your companies, that when you see them with a sign and they've been established for years and years, they proudly say that, you know, such and whatever the name of the company is, serving Southern California since 1982. And when you go and you look up the different years that they reference, 9 out of 10 times, it seems like the year they reference was at a time when the economy was not doing well. 1982 is my favorite memory because that's when I got out of college. And I thought the world would jump for joy that I was available to come and work for them. And the fact is, finding a job was something that I did accomplish, but it wasn't the cakewalk I thought it was going to be. Okay, but in either case, I believe that most successful businesses are born during bad economic times because it is the loss of functional businesses and the creation of new needs that were created by the down economy or the restructuring of the economy, however you define it. But these create new ideas that were not covered by existing businesses. And therefore, that creates the opportunity for a entrepreneur to see this need and to provide it at a profit. And of course, if you're the first one providing it, you don't have as much competition. Although watch out for those innovators, because the people who copy you also tend to be successful businesses. And a lot of times, they replace the ones that they copy. So innovation is a good thing. But sometimes those learning the ropes or learning from experience can be expensive. And sometimes it can be a barrier to success for you and a gateway to success for somebody else. But the reality check about starting a business, okay, is it's one thing for the economy to be declining. But the other thing is the, so to speak, economy closing down, okay? And when I say the economy closing down, I mean the concept of a ghost town. Now, in this day and age, because of transportation, we don't really see ghost towns like we used to, like in the 1800s or the early 1900s, where people just literally left their houses, left their cities, and moved somewhere else. And there literally was no city or no economy left because everybody left. Obviously, you don't want to start a business in a place where something like that is happening. And a good example of that, actually, in today's world would be Chernobyl, okay, in the Soviet Union, where they had a nuclear plant meltdown. Okay, everybody had to leave the area. It was no longer safe to live there. Okay, that's not a good time to start a gas station in Chernobyl. Okay, but so these are the extreme examples. I don't believe we're dealing with these things every day, so that we have to necessarily incorporate them into our thought process. But at the same time, it seems like there's a croaker in every bunch who believes that the world is coming to an end. So as an entrepreneur, if you believe that the world is about to come to an end, that's probably not a good time to start a new business. Okay, but the real issues here are, does the economy affect your business negatively? If it affects it positively, that's great. But if it doesn't affect you at all, then ignore it. Start your business. The next question is, do you have a viable business plan? And I'm not saying a written formal business plan that you can present to your bankers, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. In your mind, do you have an idea for a business that can make money, that it can be successful? Do you have the skills to do it? Okay. Does it make sense? Okay. If you meet these basic criteria, okay, then you're on your way. Okay. Then you get to deal with the realities of your business. But don't let a bad economy scare you away unless you're convinced that the bad economy is what will kill you. Okay? All right, now let's talk about the local economy, because as we talk about tough economic times, okay, there's something that we need to take into consideration, and this gets into the question that I've been asking this whole show, is does this affect me? Okay, we're hearing on a regular basis through our conventional news sources that we're having, you know, the economy has not recovered, the economy is not doing well. But a lot of these sources are at the national level, okay? And, of course, they mostly relate to the United States versus the world economy. Now, the old saying is if the United States is suffering, so is the world economy, and that's generally true. But just because the United States as a whole is suffering does not mean that every part of the United States is suffering. Okay? In that particular sense, and I have seen this for several years myself, in fact, something that I always thought was amusing, and I'm not sure if this is selective reporting or just the news avenues not doing their homework, but I always remember when Gray Davis was recalled as governor, the major issue that he was recalled for was the economy. And I remember just before the special election was going to take place, the local newspapers, at least where I live, showed that the state economy had declined, I don't know if it was 11% or 12%, but it was some significant number showing that the state economy had declined. And, of course, this was a headline running in Southern California. But what it also showed in some of the smaller tables, not the headline, was that the Inland Empire economy had actually grown during that same period, something like 7.5%. Okay, now anybody who puts their money in the bank and gets a 7.5% return will be pretty happy. Okay, so I'm not questioning the state numbers, I'm not questioning the local numbers. But the fact is, there has been something special about the Inland Empire, I believe, for the last 20 or 30 years, that says that whatever the nation is doing, that don't necessarily apply to the Inland Empire. And in many cases, the Inland Empire is probably doing better than the national economy. And I had some information that was provided to me earlier today that did show that as the economy declined through 2007 and 2008, that we saw some local declines also. And because of the crash, as we call it, in 2008, the numbers for 2009 declined also. But the fact is that while everybody continues to talk about these continued economic times, the fact is, at least in Moreno Valley, the year-to-year sales tax collections indicate that they have shown six consecutive quarters of improvement. In fact, in the first quarter of 2011, we had the largest percentage gain since 2005. And this is actually on a statewide basis. So this continued economic difficulty that we're showing, at least in Moreno Valley, if not in California, has actually improved quite a bit. Okay. Now, at the same time, there can be a little reality check also. If the state economy is 9.2% higher than last year, compared to Moreno Valley, which is 11.2% higher. But if it's 9.2% higher, it's still 14% below 2006 and 2007, which is when the last, or when the current economic downturn began. Okay? But the fact is, looking at these recent numbers, not necessarily in contrast to the nation. I don't really need to get too heavy into that particular issue. We're talking about starting a small business. And since we're based, as we broadcast here in Southern California, we will talk about small business in Southern California. And for those of you across the United States or around the world that are listening to this show, the same principles apply, but you have to apply them to your own economy. Okay, but the points that I thought were extremely interesting in terms of the current economy in Moreno Valley is that overall sales, as I just mentioned, from the year earlier period were up 11.2%. Okay, in Riverside County, which is the county that Moreno Valley is in, the overall sales were up 10.2%. In Southern California, overall sales were up 8.7%. So from my view, this suggests that either we're on our way out of this economy or we're already out of it. Now, there is a important footnote to such optimism, and that is that as we are a global economy, okay, there are a couple things that have happened in the last 6 months that will have an effect on our economy, both locally and statewide. In particular, there was an earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Now, as some of us may or may not know, there are a lot of Japanese products, specifically cars, but not necessarily limited to cars, that we buy in Southern California. And a lot of these supplies for a lot of the products that we take for granted are disrupted because the factories that produce them kind of went out of commission after the earthquake and the tsunami. Some of their production is being moved to other facilities. Some of the facilities are restarting production. But there has been an interruption in the supply chain. And what we've done over the last 15 or 20 years, if we've changed our approach to manufacturing, that we no longer buy our components in significant quantities, we've changed to what we call a just-in-time inventory system, which effectively means that we only buy stuff when we need it. Because the fact is that stuff produced in Japan these days can very quickly be shipped anywhere around the world in a relatively short period of time. And these shipment periods are relatively fixed, very regular. So if we know when we need something and we know how long it takes from a factory getting an order to producing it and shipping it to our point of production, then what's the point of ordering in huge quantities ahead of time and just ordering it as we need it? Well, that particular philosophy or approach to manufacturing does not allow for tsunamis and earthquakes. So this is an element that is going to affect the economy over the last 6 months. Remember, my numbers that I'm quoting are from the first quarter of this year, and that's one of the problems of economic information outside forecasts. We work with real numbers. The real numbers tell you what actually happened, okay? And in that particular case, we can't look at those numbers and ignore the things that have happened between then and now. And a tsunami in Japan is one of those things that we should consider. Another element that has also taken place in the last 6 months, it's an important item to consider, is that gas prices have gone up quite a bit. And so that can also have a downward effect on the economy. In that sense, there are some winners and some losers. In a good economy or in a recovering economy, there will be sectors of the economy that do well, and there will be sectors of the economy that don't do well. The winners are usually the ones that reflect the spending when, on a psychological basis, we believe we're in a down economy. The losers will be the ones that normally do better in a good economy because of the psychology that makes us buy things that we don't necessarily have the money for or we've made a lot of money, so we have money to spend. But sometimes it's the anticipation of continued regular earnings that makes us spend money before we earn it. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I've been talking about the small business economy and the local economy. And when we return, we'll be talking a little bit more about the local economy. If you have a question about small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website, or you can call us at area code 888-909-1050. If you call us during the show, and there's still time left, we will answer your question on the show. Stay with us.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
AM 1050, the Inland Talk Express, presents Cal State San Bernardino basketball. This Sunday afternoon, November 6th at 2 p.m., the Coyotes meet UCLA live from Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario. Hi, I'm Brett Malik. Join Mitch McClellan and me as the Coyotes meet the Bruins in the season opener. Cal State San Bernardino basketball broadcasts are brought to you by Stater Brothers, Hyatt Place Ontario Mills, Anheuser-Busch, Baker's Drive-Thru Restaurants, Fairfield Inn & Suites San Bernardino, Brake Masters, Coca-Cola, Country Inn & Suites Ontario Mills, Office Max, Juan Pollo Restaurants, Days Inn San Bernardino, and the Coyote Athletic Foundation. That's Cal State San Bernardino basketball action this Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. live from Ontario on your home for Coyote basketball, AM 1050, KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is Elaine McFadden inviting you to join me for Smart Health Talk on Thursdays, 4 to 5 p.m., right here on KCAA Radio, 1050 a.m. Smart Health Talk offers the kind of information that can save your life and save you money, making sure you're getting the biggest smart health bang for your buck. We'll keep you up to date on the latest in nutrition, health, and what it takes to keep your home safe for you and your family. Remember, tune in every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. for Smart Health Talk, KCAA Radio, 1050 a.m.
NBC Radio News is KCAA News Talk 1050, the Inland Talk Express.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good to me so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I've been talking about the small business economy and the local economy, and now I'm going to start talking about how the two of them fit together. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website, and we will take those questions to a future broadcast. Or if you were to call us now, we would answer your questions on the show today. Our number is 888-909-1050. Okay, now, as I was saying before, in terms of the local economy and the small business, okay, when all of our information sources, primarily the TV and the radio, are telling us that the economy is not doing very well, it makes all of us a little bit apprehensive, because although we're not necessarily affected by it, we worry that we will be affected by it. Now, as a small owner myself, when I saw the things that happened in 2007 and 2008, I also had my own apprehensions about what I was seeing and the effect that it would have on my business. Now, as an accountant, my business is dependent largely on the success of the companies that I provide services to. And for all the apprehensions that I had, those apprehensions ignored the fact that I have some very, very successful clients. And as a result, as I've gone through this bad economy, I haven't really suffered a whole lot. In fact, I probably had some of the best years since I started my practice. Okay, that being the case, let's look at the economy and how it affects us. Okay, because the fact is that if we believe that we have a bad economy, and the only way that we know whether we're having a bad economy is largely based on what we're told. Now, what I've told you before, suggesting that we're actually doing a little bit better than we are, is based on sales tax information. Now, this information is produced regularly by our taxing authorities, and it's a feedback that the government provides to us to help business better understand the times that we live in and perhaps make better decisions and help us all to understand a little bit more about the economy. But the fact is, I had to look for these numbers to find them because they completely contrast everything that we hear on the radio and the television. So in that particular sense, is an important lesson here. Understand who your sources are and at the same time question them. There are sources, other sources, and you should be able to look at them and at least confirm the information you're hearing or perhaps put footnotes under them. I don't claim that the information that I'm providing should replace the information that you're hearing over the news or the radio. But the fact is that when you're hearing national news, it does not necessarily cover your neighborhood. If you're hearing things that you're seeing at home, then it relates to you. If you're not, maybe it doesn't. Okay? Now, in that particular sense, okay, when we are in an economy or when we are being told that we are in a negative economy, a declining economy, that makes us spend our money. Excuse me. That makes us spend our money more carefully. And when we spend our money more carefully, we usually spend it on things that we need, basic things that we need, like food, clothing, and shelter, things that back in school were defined as our basic needs. Now, when we have kids, we have other needs that the goodness of our heart provides for them and other family members and sometimes for ourselves, but all this is tempered by the available cash. When we are living in a fat economy, our spending is based on the emotion that tells us that times are good and times are going to continue to be good. And it's not until we hear conflicting information that we begin to change that approach. But I will base what I'm about to cover here on the assumption, because I believe that's what the numbers are showing, that our economy right now is what I would call a nervous economy. People are spending money largely on things that they need. Okay? And therefore, when we look at the breakdown of the economic information that I have derived, we find that one of the biggest winners by class, currently or in the first quarter of this year, was the specialty stores. Now, let's think about it. What is a specialty store? A specialty store provides things that the traditional providers do not provide, because the traditional providers or the larger providers are providing on a much larger scale. And as a result, you have a tendency to get a more generic item. However, when people are spending their money, sometimes they want something more that more specifically meets their needs. Now, this is a little bit of a contradiction, although maybe it's an indication that we're coming out of our negative economy, because for specialty store sales to be up 102.7%, that means that's double what they were last year. Okay? Now, as we were talking before in terms of the small producer replacing the larger producer, who traditionally is the smaller producer? The entrepreneur. Okay? And if the entrepreneur is going to produce things in a smaller quantity, is he going to produce things that everybody needs, or is he going to identify a niche of the market that needs something a certain way and specialize on that? Okay? As much as we'd all like to sell things by the billions or the millions, when we start up, we can't do that. So we identify a niche that we can service. And based on the success of specialty stores in the first quarter of this year, I would speculate that there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there that are starting specialty stores. These also could be existing specialty stores from the last good economy, or maybe the last bad economy, who are now thriving in a period of time where people are spending their money much more carefully, but at the same time, they're spending it for specific needs. Okay? Now, another area that has also done extremely well, and once again, this could be an indication that we are coming out of the economy, is the new car dealer sales are up 39.8%, dare I say 40%. Okay? That is an enormous increase from the year before. Now, this could be a function of people thinking that things are better, and therefore they have the confidence to spend money on a large item like a car, or it could also be out of necessity. Since the economy has had its negative element since 2007 or 2008, maybe the old car don't work anymore, and maybe out of necessity people are buying cars. I would speculate on both of these items that it is probably a blend of some more positive economic vibes in our local economy, and at the same time that tempering our optimism with the conservatism, because we keep on hearing on the national news that our economy is coming down. But nonetheless, if these are the areas of the economy that are doing well, then as an entrepreneur, these are good areas of the economy to think about starting a business. Now, the new car dealer element, if you're selling Japanese cars, that's where you have the problem related to the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan that I was just talking about. In fact, I recently bought a car myself, and I found myself buying one of just a few on the lot because the lot was virtually empty because they didn't have any cars. They were still waiting for the next shipment to come from Japan. In fact, as they described it, they had launched the 2012 cars, and then the supply stopped. So they were planning to relaunch the 2012 cars. And that is as good anecdotal evidence that you can ever expect as far as the effect of that tsunami and earthquake on our local economy. Now, something that I thought was also interesting is another winner would be the restaurants, but not the ones that serve alcohol. I would suspect these are the fast food restaurants. And once again, the fast food places are where we eat when we don't eat in restaurants. And again, I believe that this type of buying is based more on necessity rather than a level of optimism. All right. Before we close here, I just want to reflect on some of the anecdotal information that the city of Moreno Valley has provided me based on my inquiries when I was developing this show. And the thing is that in our down economy, something very interesting is going on in the city of Moreno Valley. And I have here the economic development summary for October of 2011, and it's got 4 pages of projects here. So with the time left in the show, there's not a whole lot that I can talk about. I surely can't give you 4 pages worth of information, so I thought I'd just kind of touch on the highlights. Apparently, there's a lot of industrial development going on there. I see one project here called the March Business Center for about 1.5 square feet in 4 buildings. I see another place, a warehouse distribution center building for 1.6 million square feet. Okay, another place, the Moreno Valley Distribution Center, 1.58 million square feet. That's an expansion. The Indian Business Park for 1.56 million square feet. You got the Skechers Distribution Center that's just been completed for 1.8 million square feet. The Inland Logistics Center for 865,000 square feet. These are going up all over the place. Okay? They have 4 different hotel projects. They have 21 different stores that are listed as either recent openings or openings to come. Yeah, they have a Five Guys Burgers that just opened, a Village Cafe that just opened, a TJ Maxx and a Home Goods that just executed a lease, a new Panera Bread, a new Buffalo Wild Wings, a new Anna's Linens, a new Miru Sushi and Teriyaki, a Walker's Body Bayou Fitness Studio, a Supporting Possibilities in Corp adult daycare facility with 15,000 square feet. They have a banquet facility for 10,000 square feet. There's the Moreno Valley Plaza is being renovated. They have a Harbor Freight Tools that's going to locate there. We have a Baja Fresh and Scoops that have recently opened. Okay? I could read these things until the next show. The fact is that there is a tremendous amount of development going on in the city of Moreno Valley. And in Riverside, I am aware of 4 construction cranes indicating that they're building 4 high-rise buildings. And being a member of the Riverside Chamber of Commerce, I am constantly aware of all the different projects that they have going in their own city. Okay, so for those of you who are under the impression that the economy is declining on a national level, it may be. But on the local level in Southern California, especially in Moreno Valley and Riverside, things are building like crazy. This has been Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I've been talking about the business, the small business economy, the local economy, and how they all fit together. You can check out our website at takingyourbusinessseriously.com, and if you like, email us with questions relating to the subject of small business. My special thanks to Brett, our engineer, and the KCAA radio station. Tune in to us next week, where once again, we'll do our best to take your business to the next level. Thank you for listening.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, this is Superstation KCAA in Loma Linda with your 5 o'clock local news. Now here's what's happening. In Riverside, thousands of commuters were inconvenienced this morning when a man threatened to jump from the 14th Street overpass above the Route 91 freeway. All freeway lanes were shut down for more than 2 hours, forcing motorists onto surface streets. Westbound traffic was backed up to the 6091-215 interchange. Residual delays lasted another 2 hours. The individual did not jump and peacefully surrendered. A solution to protecting a tiny fish in the Santa Ana River without impacting jobs and the local economy may be in the works. The Riverside Corona Resource Conservation District will restore the habitat of the Santa Ana sucker within Riverside's Tecasquita Arroyo. That restoration will involve removing non-native plants and cleaning up trash and other debris. Locally programmed radio is taking another hit. Two radio mega owners, Clear Channel and Cumulus Media, are laying off hundreds of employees in favor of syndicated programming. The Hollywood Reporter says among the casualties at KLOS is legendary Los Angeles DJ Jim Ladd. At his induction on Hollywood's Walk of Fame back in 2005, Ladd said,
"Each and every one of us, each and every one of you who believes in freeform radio and have supported me for so many years, this is your star as much as it is mine."
Ladd is believed the last DJ who aired the music that he wanted. Layoffs at KLOS and KABC reportedly number about 27. Dia de los Muertos is being celebrated over 2 days. All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day are being observed through tomorrow. Now, the main event is tomorrow evening at the Riverside Metropolitan Museum.
Nighttime in downtown Riverside brings out colorful shrines and images.